Blog Talk Radio.
I got my boys with me this evening. Big Marv, D should be calling in any minute. Hope these guys are doing good. We are back. Thank you for joining us. We're live here every weekday. Not every weekday, but every Wednesday on the weekday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Mountain Standard Time. Marv, I see your number on the board. Welcome back.
What's going on?
How are you?
Yes, Mimi. I'm doing A1. I can't be no better. Man, we in here with a little bit of a CT start to the night. Ain't nothing wrong with it, though. Cinco de Mayo. Everybody all having a good time, I see.
Yes, definitely. Everybody's having a good time. Dwayne is obviously having the time of his life.
Cinco de Mayo, my bad, y'all.
We couldn't even find you to show up.
On time. Today I'm faded, Cinco de Mayo. I'm late. My bad. I'm grilling, drinking. My bad.
All right. Everybody's turning up for the Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I hope everybody's having a fun and safe holiday. But we got a long short show today. A lot to talk about, same amount of time, yet we always find a way to run out. Switch it up on them today, but this is the Wednesday after the draft, guys. There was a huge draft. There's so many things that happened after the draft. But overall, I think the draft went well. I think for, you know, having the draft during COVID, I think they did a good job. As best as they could do, there was still a lot of fans in attendance, which still made it kind of exciting. So we're going to get into it. A lot of things happen. But generally, we'll start with you, Marv. How did you feel about the draft overall?
I don't know, man. It was kind of weird how everybody sort of started teeing guys up from their college days. So it seems like everybody's got like a quarterback and a playmaker who played in college together now. And I don't know if that just fell the way it fell or it was kind of like by design, but it's making for a real interesting, it's setting the table for a real interesting next, you know, 4 or 5 years in the NFL. So I thought that was probably the highlight of the draft.
Yeah, I actually think it was by design. I think that what the teams are trying to do is they want to get players that will make their young quarterbacks comfortable. Now, I'm saying that is because, like, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks come in and they're out of their comfort zones. They're playing with all these new players that they've never played with before, and they're not, like, you know, they don't have that confidence, especially the ones who play right out of, you know, who play right out of college, who don't sit on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, they don't get, like, that time. I mean, you get off season, but that's not really like playing with somebody for 4 years. So I think that what these coaches are trying to do so these young quarterbacks don't come in and bust is they're trying to put players with them that they're familiar with to give them a little bit more confidence on the field. You know, because once you make that first pass in the NFL, like, you get a little bit of confidence. And if you're making it to somebody that you know, is a playmaker for you, you're going to have that confidence. And I think that what these teams are doing is trying to help out their young quarterbacks try to, you know, adapt to the game a little bit better.
That's a good idea. I mean, you put so much pressure on these young kids to come right off, you know, hit the ground running. I think it was really genius to give Patrick Mahomes that year to learn. Hopefully, you know, a lot of these guys are not going to have that. So maybe, like you said,
right,
having familiar guys in the huddle is going to help. They're going to need all the help they can get because there's so much pressure on the position these days. People just want to see people come out of the gate and play pro football, and it just doesn't usually work like that. It's a learning curve.
Right. I totally agree. What about you, Dee? How did you feel about the draft overall?
Draft was good. I can't really say it was all the way by design because you never know how the chips fall, and you might have a guy on your board.
Well,
and it was an idea, and it worked out. Let's say it that way. They had them on their board. Everyone has selection 1, 2, 3, and 4. But their selection number one, if they have a quarterback already, would be a playmaker on the other side, like you guys are saying. Someone they're comfortable with. If all else breaks down, I know if I get him the ball, he's going to make a play. If you have that in your pocket, they're going to be more confident. So what you guys are saying is true, and I think that is an idea that they did have going in. But the way that the draft fell out, everybody that everyone was saying was going to get picked was getting picked to the team that they were selected to. And with Burrow, scared for Burrow because they picked a wide receiver in the first round, but then they let go of A.J. Green, and then they get the ASU kid that they were working with. That was kind of really good. Then you had Tua got a guy that he was good with, you know, Waddell. That's good. Like, that is perfect for them to be with somebody that they're familiar with in the game. It definitely helps them feel confident in the pocket, making plays after play. And like Marv said, there's a lot of pressure. They got to come out, and they have to make it happen. Burrow had the whole franchise on his shoulders. The franchise didn't help him, but they at least got some offensive tackles. They got some linemen. After they got the picks, I was like, this is a good draft. A lot of teams filled a lot of holes. They didn't go for just a splash play and get the best player on the board. They actually got players that they needed that can come in and make a difference. I was surprised with Denver's pick because I was mad because I wanted Surtain for the Cowboys, but we got Parsons. So that pick tricked – it made me feel that it really is about Aaron Rodgers going to Denver. That pick right there, let me know they're going quarterback. They're going to get their Aaron Rodgers. They're going to get a deal done. It's going down. Great draft.
So you think Aaron Rodgers is going to Denver is what you're telling me?
I would say it's the best place for him to kind of go that has it set up for him to win. They got great young receiver talent. They got great offensive line. They got a great defense. It's built for you to win. The other team I would say is ready to go and give him a swap and give them what they're needing is going to be the 49ers. They have two quarterbacks that they could be willing to give to Green Bay and some pieces that they can give and some picks and things of that nature to help bolster that, and he would be going home. It would be a great opportunity, but I think Denver's going to have the slot and the movement to make it happen. I don't see them giving Aaron Rodgers what he wants if he leaves by trade.
Well, yeah, if he leaves by trade, right? So, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, since you already brought him up, let's stay on him for a second. So, how do you feel like this has been a long time coming? Do you feel like this is something that he's been trying to do for a while now, get out of Green Bay? Or do you think that he wants to stay if they would get proper management?
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is kind of a diva, but at the same time, you know, he's kind of been standing out there with just one good receiver for a while, and I know he's kind of frustrated. He's been taking guys who really aren't names at receiver and creating names year after year, guys you never heard of. As soon as they become wide receivers on Green Bay, all of a sudden they got household names for a few weeks. I just think that, you know, Green Bay has kind of had this relationship with their quarterbacks. I really don't know where the source of the problem is, whether it's the way it's just the culture up there or what have you, but I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers is such a powerhouse in the NFL. He's going to end up wherever he wants to be, basically. I mean, if Denver's not the perfect scenario, I think you can't sleep on him going to the Raiders or something. I don't know. I could see something crazy happening where he goes to New England. Who knows? But, I mean, he's too much of a force in this league. He's going to call the ball. He's going to get what he wants.
I agree. I mean, I agree. He probably is a diva, but it's not like he doesn't have a right to be. You know what I mean? He is very good.
Yeah, that angst you hear in my voice is me being a longtime Lions fan and really hating what this guy has done to me over the years. But, you know, just calling it like I see it, he's just, you know, he's the it factor at quarterback right now. I mean, I heard somebody throw around the prospect of a franchise quarterback swap and send him out to Seattle and bring Russell Wilson into Green Bay. Now, if that happens, that'll blow my mind. But I could see that happening,
wow,
too.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
That's wild.
You bring Russell Wilson back to Wisconsin? Come on. That's his home state. Bring a celebrity wife? It's a good look.
He ain't going there. She's going to be mad as hell, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
she's close to Chicago. She can be a diva. She can go to Chicago and get her lifestyle on.
She's not really out
there.
She's
still trying
like
to keep
that,
a name for herself. She can't be out there like that, bro.
Seattle's more like on that mom vibe right now anyway.
Yeah, she is. And they do a lot of charity stuff. She's not really like outside like that. She hang out with
right.
the same people. You'll never see her in the news, like, unless they like doing something like on the charity side of things. Like, she's not really like a hot girl summer. That's not Sierra.
Yeah, not this stage in her life. I mean, I think she'd be good in the Midwest. I mean, especially when you think about Russell Wilson's already, like, you know, he went to college in Wisconsin. He's already beloved there. So if he went to Green Bay, it'd be a match made in heaven for him.
Right.
That it would be interesting. It would be interesting to see if that's where it ends up. We still have a long time, you know, before football actually gets started. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see the rest of the moves that these teams make during the draft. Okay, so let's talk about what you guys feel is okay. So we're gonna go. Do if you want a name for your personal team, it's okay. Or if you want a name just in general, it is also okay. What you think is the worst pick, as far as within the first two rounds? Like, let's not get too crazy about all of the rounds, because we could say something
right.
about every pick that was made. So we'll never end the show. But within the first round, what was your least favorite pick that happened in the draft? And D, we'll start with you on this one.
Oh no, don't start with me, because I gotta think about this one. Oh no.
Oh, you gotta think about it. Okay.
No, I got one. So I'm gonna do it off of personal hate. The worst pick that was made, again, I will say this, is Patrick Surtain to the Denver Broncos, because I wanted him for my team. But I didn't know where the Denver Broncos were going with picking him, other than trying to reincarnate Champ Bailey. Like, I know they're trying to bolster their defense. They're trying to bolster that side of the ball as far as the cornerback side, and they were a little weak there, and they were trying to strengthen it, and he was one of the best picks that you can get in the draft. But when they didn't go quarterback and they got Teddy Bridgewater, they're battling there. What are you really trying to do with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater? You don't really believe in Drew Lock by going to get Teddy Bridgewater. No one believes in Teddy Bridgewater. You're not really trying to win playoff-level games. You're just trying to keep your team in contention as far as winning ball games. What were you doing with that pick when you could have gotten somebody decent at that pick as far as quarterback level? That would be the pick that I would say is the worst, because I'm not sure as to what they were trying to do.
What they were trying to do with them. Okay, that's fair right. enough. That's fair enough. Okay, what about you, Mark?
Man, I mean, I have really no standout, like, picks that just make me go, ugh. It just seemed like everything fell right for everybody. I know I'm a little worried about this defensive tackle that the Lions picked in the second round. I mean, the draft is notoriously thin at that position this year. And I really just, I mean, I don't know. The guy kind of seems like he's wacky. So he might be wacky in a good way or wacky in a bad way. So it's a gamble. That being said, we could have got a different pass rusher or somebody like that. But we're so thin at defensive tackle. I can understand why we did it. I just know that there wasn't that much talent at that position in the first few rounds this year. And that it was kind of a bummer because that's just one of those positions that you actually need talent at almost every year coming out of the draft. But who knows, man? You know, the one draft pick that surprised me was Jaguars taking ETN in the first round at running back. I was surprised about that. I think if they didn't do that, I don't know if anyone else would have picked him up. They might have been able to get him on the next one coming back, but I don't know. It looks like they still made out well in the draft, so I don't think it makes a big deal. It just seemed like everything started to fall into place for teams this year. I think everybody got
hard
what
to,
they needed.
Hard to.
I think
not.
There's one small pick that I was not happy with in the 21 draft. And that would be the pickup of Mac Jones for the New England Patriots.
What?
That's your guy. What you mean? Bro, I sent you the meme. He looked built just like Tom Brady his rookie year. Same
that
thing.
Is my
no
problem.
One believes
that
in
it. That's the problem with this pick is I feel like everybody wants to compare him to Brady. They want to say Brady 2.0. Oh, this is going to be Brady again. This is just what we need. That is wrong. That is not what we need. We were trying to branch out from this pocket quarterback. We were trying to expand the offense a little, have some options. And then they go right back to where they came from. And what I think is going to happen here is the pressure of trying to be Brady is going to be this guy's downfall. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's going to be able to live up to the pressure that these people are going to put on him. And instead of him actually excelling and doing what he does, I don't think he's going to do well. I really don't think he's going to do well.
I second that.
I feel like there's going to be too much pressure on him. I feel like everybody's going to be expecting him to be Brady. And then when he's thrown out there, you know, I pray to God he doesn't play this year because I really think it's going to be a bad idea for him. Because if he fails his first year, it's going to be like a confidence breaker. And some quarterbacks never come back from that. And I feel like this is a situation that's very tricky. Like, he's too close to Brady to – for them to have high hopes for him. Justin Fields would have been a way better option for them, I feel like. I feel like he'd be something different. The expectation would be different with him. I feel like everybody is looking at him like he's the next Brady. He's over here doing interviews. I secretly wanted to go to the Patriots the whole time. I'm like, oh, so you think that you're going to be Brady too? And it's gonna be like a huge disaster. Like, I feel like there's going to be too much pressure in New England. Everybody's going to be talking about, can he be Brady? Can he do what Brady did? Can this be? Is this going to happen? And they're never going to let him be who he is in real life. And because of that, I don't think he's going to be successful. So I think this is a terrible pick.
I asked.
I couldn't disagree more. I believe in Mac Jones.
I really.
We're gonna have three.
I don't know. I'm on it, man. I'm with her on that because the media is gonna be the ploy here. It's not really gonna be the organization. I think the organization knows what they got in Mac Jones. They see he's a cerebral, smart kid. They want him to make the right play at the right time. They want to develop him. But what I see is the problem is the media saying, well, they thought they got a Tom Brady in this kid, and he threw an interception that Tom Brady would have never done. Yada, yada,
right.
Yada, yada. And I think that is where it's going to be bad. Not so much the organization. They're solid. They know what they got in Mac Jones. They know what they got in Cam Newton when they got him. That's why they got him at a steal. your organization is ready to go. I just think it's going to be the outside trying to breathe in and try to make the hype happen. Like, you tried to get Tom Brady since you lost Tom Brady, so you got the kid again, the underdog.
Right.
You try to do it again. So I think that's the media doing it. So I feel you on that aspect with the media. But I'm with Marv, too, is like, he's going to be all right. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He understands football. He's got an arm. He's not in the system where they're going to need to throw him out there right away. Cam Newton's going to be there for the next year or two. He's going to get time to develop like they did Tom Brady. Cam Newton's going to fuck up after that 2 years, and they're going to throw him out there, and he's going to be good like Tom Brady was because he's going to be prepared. I think they have Cam Newton signed for the next year or two to make sure that they develop Mac Jones like they did Tom Brady. It's
okay.
Going to be a slow process.
Okay, but that's if that happens. But I'm thinking of that, you know, they got this Mac Jones, now everybody's excited, now they throw him out there as soon as Cam throws interceptions. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, they're like, okay, we're benching Cam.
That's your fans in the media. That's what I said. Like, I see, that's why I said that. That's the fans in the media trying to be like, throw him in there. We picked him. He's a first-round pick. He's good. Like, they're going to – your organization is solid. You should have more faith in the organization and not the fan base and the media. They're not going to do a – we need to hurry up and win. We need to do something. You guys have people in place to win ball games with Cam Newton. They put pieces there for him to be able to throw the ball, run the ball, and play defense. They just need to win ball games so you guys are satisfied. You guys aren't going to be satisfied unless you win Super Bowls, but it's better – to win a few games and get into the playoffs and get knocked out, then to be like, all right, we're losing like every game. We're 0-6 like six. Now throw Mac Jones in there. You guys will never do that. You guys are a better program than that. You're not a Cincinnati Bengals where you had to draft somebody, throw them out to the Wolves, and hope it worked. You're not built that way, and you guys will be okay, in my opinion. They'll hold them for a year or two and develop them.
We're gonna have to see because I'm just saying the way that it happened, I wasn't, you know, like I said, I wasn't really thrilled about that pick. I would have rather Justin Fields. I'm mad at Chicago for taking him because, you know, Chicago, it's been a while since Chicago's had, you know, somebody.
What pick did you guys have though? What pick did you guys have though? Let me ask you that. What pick did you have?
11.
Right, he went. Didn't he go at 10? Because the Eagles traded it to New England. Or no? Yeah, the Eagles traded it to Chicago, so he went 10. So they couldn't even got Justin Fields.
No, I'm saying if Chicago would have made it, you know, I'm just saying if it would have happened, correct. Like if they would have picked from Carolina, they would have got Justin Fields.
They couldn't get it. Carolina didn't want to give it up.
No, I mean, I know that, but I'm saying if they would have gotten that, you're telling me they would have picked
Oh, my bad. You're on the if train. My bad. I'm sorry. You're on the if train.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's what I'm saying. If they would have got that pick in the eighth round, do you think they still would have chose Mac Jones over Justin Fields?
No, they wanted Fields. They wanted him. That's why they tried to get to 10. They
right,
wanted him.
That's,
and I told you
yeah.
that. And I said that they were going to draft him if he was available. I said that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's not who – what my point in saying is that is not who they wanted. So it's not like they had a whole game plan for picking up Mac Jones. Like, again,
he was like number six. He was number six on the depth chart of their board.
Right. I feel like their round two pick, Christian Barmore was a way better pick than Mac Jones. I'm more excited about what he's going to do for the defense than what Mac Jones is going to do for the offense.
Right. 100%.
I thought that was number one pick. That was a good pick for them because, you know, they're a defensive team anyway, and I'd like to see how Bill Belichick incorporates him in the defense. When the Patriots defense is playing good, their offense can be mediocre, you know, because the Patriots defense will score. So
and they're still going to bring that defense with them this year.
Who?
The Patriots. You know, they're going to get a lot of the guys who opted out of last season.
Not internet.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I think we lost Marv. He's got to call back in. In the meantime, I think we got Lou on the line. And we're talking
about
the draft. Lou, how are you?
All right.
I think the Jets did well with their draft selections. I think we got something going. I think we got something better here.
The Jets? Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and tell us what was your favorite pick of the draft since you're on there. Hey, Mark. We got Marv back on the line. Lou just called
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Some tech diff, but I'm back.
All right. We got going to tell us who he liked, who his favorite pick was in the draft.
I got to go with Zach Wilson, you know, from BYU. I mean, you know, I've heard his numbers and whatnot. And he looks promising and, you know, he can really shape up with, you know, because we lack in every major – like in every major department last year. I'm more concerned, though, really by our defense of the team. Our offense, you know, was at least decent, but our defense, you know, our special teams, that was weak. So that's what we need to work on, most importantly.
Nice. So what did you think of the draft, Lou? Were you happy with it in general?
I'm satisfied with it. Although every time that, you know, we seem to get a good draft pick, the crowd does not agree. Because when I heard the draft, I mean, the fans were just, you could hear the boos all the way clear back to New Jersey.
The fans didn't like what was going on. But
in fact,
I mean,
they're still booing right now.
I feel like they tried, you know, they tried to, as far as like the, you know, there was a lot more fans in there than I, you know, there are a lot more people in attendance than I thought there was going to be. So I was
surprised.
Well,
you couldn't. Well, I kind of thought there'd be more this year than there were last year, of course.
Well, yeah, they're trying. And I started to read up that, you know, some of these stadiums are going to go back to, you know, full capacity as far as the fans and stuff. So let's start
yeah.
with you, Dwayne. We had a conversation about this, about fans being a factor. So do you feel like, you know, that everybody needs to at least get some sort of number of fans back into the stadiums this season?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do, and they're going to raise the number, but it's all dependent on the city. That's what I was trying to tell you. So all cities are different. Like, if you go to a Cardinal game, we're open, right? They're not – everything's good to go. They're just going to let everybody shuffle in there. They're going to be good to go. But if you're going to go to, like, a L.A. Rams game or a L.A. Chargers game, they're not as open as we are, so they're going to have less fan base because of that. But if you go to, let's say, a Jets game, how open are you guys? I don't know about the New York area. You guys – walking around with no masks and going to clubs and partying it up right now out there?
Well, in Jersey,
no, not yet.
But
that's what I'm asking because I don't know. I'm not out there. Because right now I went to Scottsdale. We're swimming in the pools, and we're doing it like it's normal.
Yeah,
right?
that's
I'm asking.
Well, New York doesn't pay attention to much rules anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, so I think that the fans are going to be a little higher in the volume, and it's going to be a quick climb. It's going to start slow because they want to, like, oh, we're worried about the pandemic. Oh, we're worried about the pandemic. And then, boom, and there's nobody getting sick. Let's bring them all in. We need the money because we need to get the fanfare right now. That's what they're going to do. It's going to turn up. That's what's going to happen, in my opinion. They're going to start slow with some stadiums where the city has got the ordinance and all these follow the rules stuff. And then they're going to be like, you know what? We need to have everyone in here. We can have everyone in every other seat. We can have half capacity or something like that. And then it's going to be like, let's go. Everybody can come in. That's
the litmus test is going to be the California teams. Let's see what happens with the California teams. If they put people in the stadiums, they'll have people in the stadiums all over the country.
Yeah, California and New York, man. That's what it is. Those two are the tickers, New York and California. That's why I said it's based on California and New York. Because I know in Arizona it doesn't matter because we're wide open. They're going to have it filled up in here. There's season ticket holders buying right now. They're on sale. So it's normal.
That's right.
So that's why I'm not sure is how it's going to be in New York or California because it's not – they're a little more stringent out there in those places as far as what they say anyway.
Yeah, definitely, because things are only at like 25%.
Right, we had 100%. See what I mean? That's why I was like, it's all depending on the city.
Well, that's good, but it's going to be nice to, you know, get the fans back. It's going to be nice to be able to go to games again, because, you know, I'm definitely a game goer. I go to at least, you know, 3 to 4 games a year if I can. In different states, you know, I like to hit different stadiums throughout the season, depending on, you know, how everybody's doing. So it'll definitely be interesting to see, you know, how they make these changes. But definitely excited for this season. I mean, like I said, the OTAs are going to be nice. We should be able to see. Let's talk about this rumor a little bit about Julian Edelman coming out of retirement so quickly and on to Tampa Bay. Do you think this happening, or do you think that that this is just what it is, a rumor?
I mean, how could you not think it's legit? I mean, it's just a natural progression of things. It seems like the thing to do these days is just kind of, you know, get the band back together and take another run at it. I don't know how much he even plays if he suits up for that team. If the other receivers are healthy, I don't think he gets much time on the field. But I don't know. We'll see. If I was Mike Evans, I'd be a little nervous.
Smart move. Like, they would pick him up. They wouldn't really have to pay him. It's more like he wants to play with Brady, because it's like, where's their salary cap going to fit a player like Julian Edelman? You know what I mean? It's not like he's a scrub.
I know. Brady's going to pay him out of his own paycheck.
That's what it's going to have to be.
I'm just going to give him $3 million out of my 12. I don't know. Brady's that smart, though. He knows not to bankrupt his own team with a big paycheck. I mean, he could go in there, you know, talking about he's the greatest that ever do it and he needs $40 million a year to play, or, you know, he could strangle his teams, but he's smart enough to know that that money is what's going to win the games for him, and he knows he can't go over, you know, a certain dollar amount every year as far as what his salary is, so he can put a team on the field. A lot of these younger quarterbacks, they're not thinking like that. They're just thinking about, you know, making what they're worth, which is probably why the guy has been to the Super Bowl so many times.
Very true. Very true. So so do you think Deshaun Watson is playing for Houston this year?
I do. I don't think there's going to be any hitch to the thing. It looks like everything is kind of going to, I don't know. I haven't been following it as closely as other people, but I don't know. My impression is that he's still going to play.
What about you, D? Where are you at?
I mean, he'll be on the roster. I mean, they can't do nothing with him. He's dead weight right now. But he's going to be on the field. They're going to figure something out. The lawyers and everything is going to happen. He admitted to his womanizing and stuff like that. He's going to be hated for about 2 weeks, and then it's going to be back to football.
2 weeks.
Are you smart touchdowns? Are you going to be making money? Are you going to be making things happen? Lou, I'm sorry, man. I'm just saying. You already know how it goes. He's a quarterback. I mean, Peyton Manning did the same thing to his trainers. He did the same thing. He was busted for the same thing. So he was beloved. He's the sheriff. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. People forget he did it, but he did the same thing. So 2 weeks, he's going to score touchdowns. He's going to make plays. He's going to wow people. And this is going to be put under the rug, and NFL's going to put money back to it, and they're going to help him out. He's going to be just fine. Now, is he going to stay a Texan? He's going to have to. He's going to be like, now that we saved your butt, you're going to have to stay here. Be happy. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
They set him up.
Right.
Stay
that's
there because he ain't leaving.
Now he can leave, because it's like, where is he going to go?
100%. Where is he going to go?
I don't see him going anywhere.
He can't go anywhere on the coast.
Set up. This is what we said earlier. Sorry, Mar, but I'm just saying it was a setup. We said it. They planted the bug. He done.
Yeah.
You stay in the Texan. You're going to like it.
You ain't going to have a choice, right?
Nope. Yeah.
None.
Well, hopefully he gets everything worked out. Because it seems like, you know, football is back to, you know, what we expect it to be. So I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for, you know, the fantasy show. We talked about it before. You know, it should make it exciting. We got a bunch of new playmakers that we'll be excited to add to, you know, our fantasy teams this year. And we're actually going to do one with the network itself. So all of us from the network, everybody who has the show, will be able to participate, or, you know, anybody else who wants to participate, depending on how people we get. But it should be a good time. And then we're going to have our show. We have decided if it's going to be every other week or on the weekends, but we're going to do a fantasy show so we can talk fantasy numbers because, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But speaking of fantasy numbers, these wide receivers that, you know, Waddell and Smith, do you think that this is the next generation? Do you think that, you know, I think Smith is saying, like, he's the best wide receiver to ever do it. Do you think, like, these young guys really are going to take over the league like they're claiming to do? Marv, I'll start with you on this one.
Man, there's so much talent at the skill positions in the league this year. I'm thinking it's going to be a high-scoring year this year. So in that regard, it's going to be a hell of a fantasy year this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of points scored. There's going to be a lot of young guys in positions to make plays where, you know, young guys make mistakes. So there's going to be a lot of big plays that involve big turnovers. A lot of yards to eat up, a lot of gaps on defense. There's going to be a lot of good running backs that are going to have good seasons coming up. I'm really intrigued by what Carolina's going to look like in their backfield. They picked up the really talented guy out of Oklahoma State who was running all over the NCAA last year. So now they got, you know, thunder and lightning in that backfield. I don't know what that's going to look like. Not to mention if Sam Darnold is actually good at play action pass, they might be a hard offense to stop. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of potential all over the NFL as far as who's got talent at skill positions, who's got opportunities to break out. It's going to be a fun fantasy season.
I agree. I definitely think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be high scoring. Like I said, there's a lot of players that I'm looking forward to watching. But like I said, there's a lot of players that, like I said, in particular, Mac Jones, that I really hope they don't throw him out there. You know, I really do hope that they develop him like Brady and he can come into, you know, have that confidence on the field and not want to be Brady. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a pocket passer, but he's no Brady. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, you know, what people say. Yes, I know he was Alabama's quarterback. Yes, I know I'm one of the greatest, you know, programs in college history. But college and NFL is two totally different ballgames. And blaming college with little boys, and, you know, and little boys in the sense of, you know, they're not these, you know, 300-pound, you know, men. I mean, there are, but you know what I'm saying. It's a step up, like, you know what I'm saying.
It's a clear step up.
Yeah, it's totally different than playing in college. So, I'm hoping that he can find his own identity by the time they throw him out the field, so he doesn't think about that pressure of, oh, am I going to live up to, you know, Tom Brady? Because you can't. You can admire him, but you can't imitate him. So there's been nobody that's been able to do what Brady does. There's also nobody that's been able to do what Aaron Rodgers does. Like, everybody does their own thing, and that's what makes them great. If he is trying to do what Brady did, I don't think he's going to be successful. And that was my problem with picking somebody so similar to Tom Brady. So I just feel like I really hope that, you know, they use him properly because he could be great. Like, you know, like Dwayne was saying, like, he could be the answer, you know, the perfect the perfect replacement for Brady. It could be him, but he has to be who he is. He has to be the quarterback he was in Alabama. He cannot be, you know, who Brady was for the Patriots. Just I'm really interested to see how this season goes and off season goes.
I mean, he's pretty solid of a guy to sit behind Hurts and Tua, and then when he finally gets his shot, he doesn't miss a beat. I think there's a lot to be appreciated about that. There were throws that he could have been errant on. He could have been missing throws. He was accurate. He threw Alabama to a national championship. I mean, yes, they had Najee Harris, who was a great running back. So it really wasn't as
Heisman receiver. Don't forget that. With Wild there.
Like I said, they had talent. They had talent. Yes, yes.
Stud.
I'm not sure he doesn't.
You didn't say all of them, which is what the problem that he was talking about is. You don't have that same talent in the fucking
news. You don't have that luxury.
See? You ain't got that same luxury. So that could be an issue.
Yeah, but Tua didn't have it in Miami last year. He was all right.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's why they benched him for Fitzpatrick. What you mean he was all right?
He was all right. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick is Fitzmagic,
man.
Oh,
man.
Speaking of Fitzmagic,
thank you for bringing up Tua. That's why they went and got a receiver, because he didn't have talent and he needs it. And he needed to feel comfortable, so they went and got an Alabama kid, because you need Alabama talent, because you can't just get anyone and plug and play. So your point earlier has been made. They needed to bring confidence to these young guys because there's too much pressure on them. Marv, you're the greatest, man. I just got to give you that right there.
Yeah. They have there's nothing like that comfortability on the field. You know, like when they think that, like, you know, like it's just like, you know, somebody who's always going to be there, you know what I'm saying? Especially the first couple games where you're just trying to get used to the speed of the NFL. You're trying to get used to, because the game is different. The game is different than in college. You know what I'm saying? It moves much faster. I've heard that from multiple players. I've heard multiple players say the game is so much faster than in college. These guys are so much bigger. You have, you know, in college, these guys are quick. Sometimes it looks like they're running up and down the field like it's a basketball game. Rarely in the NFL do you see somebody that happen to a team unless the team is like 0-16. You know, nobody's running up and down the field on this particular, unless they just, you know, their quarterback is out in the first game of the season, you know, they ain't got no defensive players. Like, that usually doesn't happen. So to be able to have somebody on the field that you know you can go to in a time of emergency, a brand new quarterback running on the field, he's looking for a player, he doesn't know who to pick because he's not really that comfortable with every single player on the field. He doesn't know their speed, how they run. He doesn't know. So if he turns the ball this way, they're going to come back to the ball because they know him. They don't know him. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. They just want a familiar face for these young quarterbacks so they can get
security
some type
blanket.
Of confidence. Yeah. Why would you
little
not?
Baby Linus is out
yeah.
there. Charlie Brown
Linus.
Peanuts.
Some, they need it. They need it.
But could it come up?
How bad
but could it backfire?
Well, why would it backfire?
Because sometimes when you lean on what you think is a secure situation, then you start to favor it. And then that creates a tendency that defenses take advantage of because they know you're going to throw to your buddy. So now they're going to blanket coverage him and put a hawk around him. And you know what I mean? Like now it's like you got a tendency. Whereas before, like you look in Jacksonville, they got the running back that he played with. So there's no issue with favoritism across the board to receivers. But you look at Cincinnati or Miami, now it's a situation where I got to throw it to my guy. You know, Philadelphia, I got to throw it to my guy. Well, what if your guy really is not open, and we're still throwing it to them. Now we got a problem. So I don't know. I think it could be a thing where, you know, sometimes that comfort zone is what hampers your growth. Sometimes you do better when you don't have a safety net, so to speak.
Oh, well, that's true, too. I didn't really look at it that way. I mean, that is a valid argument. I can't say that it isn't. But I just feel like some of these quarterbacks are coming in, and then they're you know, rock stars in college, and then we look at them and be like, how did you make it in the NFL? You know,
mm-hmm.
how did you get this job?
Well, pros are a completely different animal than college, though.
No, well, yeah, exactly. That, I mean, absolutely, it's different, but you expect them to be able to adapt, which is why a lot of the good quarterbacks didn't come right out and play their first year. A lot of the quarterbacks that sat behind somebody, and just like Aaron Rodgers, he sat behind
Brett Favre. Brett Favre.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, yes, Brett Favre, yes. So Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. So I'm like, all the really, really good quarterbacks all did not just come out of the gate, you know, shooting fire guns. You know what I'm saying? The only person who did that was nobody. I'm like, wait, I was about to say, but I was like, nope, he sat the bench too. So I was like, no.
Jets was the last one. Namath, top pick, put in, made it happen.
Okay, and look how long ago that was.
I know.
That was legit, like, before our time. Like, I never even watched any play. Like, I don't even remember a game that I can remember that where I saw him playing. So it's like.
Right. That's sad, because he's been sitting there watching every Jet quarterback just fail after failure after failure.
They're trying something new. They're hoping that it works. And because a lot of these new quarterbacks, some of these teams are picking, they don't have no choice but to just throw them out there. They don't have somebody that can sit that can sit behind them and teach them the ropes. So they wanted to have a little something there to just give them a little bit more confidence than what they normally have. They don't have 2 to 3 years to sit behind somebody and become great. They just don't have that. They don't have the opportunity. They don't have the time. They don't have the resources. A lot of these teams, they need these quarterbacks to get, you know, to start out the gate. And that's how it's going to be. Sad to say.
Well, that now is say goodnight. Good night, guys. I hope to talk to you soon. Oh, by the way, I have a – don't forget about my show this week, Enhanced Sports Show. We also have ladies. We have a ladies' night this week, so all you ladies out there, give a call to the show. Number is 512. Yeah, 512-543-4662. That number again, 512-543-4662, and we're on the air 5 to 7 East Coast time.
All right, you guys heard it from Lou first. Thank you so much. Calling in, Lou. We appreciate you. Hope you're staying safe out there.
We are. Thank you.
All right, great. Have a happy Cinco de Mayo.
Thanks. What's left of it?
Right. What's left of
right.
it? So it's over. All right, guys.
Not
Lou
for me, though. I'm in Arizona. For
yeah,
me, though. 7:30.
It's getting started for you, guys. Just so it's over over here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
10:30.
That.
Time to go.
Yeah, I know.
Time
Cinco de Mayo ends on the 8th of May in Arizona.
Exactly. What is that, Sunday?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it goes through the weekend.
Well, yeah, definitely. Especially, I'm like, I should be out there going to Toca Madera. That's where I should be.
Toca,
mm-hmm.
Like, when you come back out here, we going. We reserving it when you come back out here.
No, you
got to
reserve it from. I was like, you got to reserve it from now. I already booked my tickets. I was just about to tell you guys. I'm coming out there June 29th through the 1st. I have a tattoo session on the 30th. It's going to be about 6 hours. So I'm doing a cover So I'm going to be out there for a couple of days. So we need to reserve it in advance, try to get that DJ room, and we need to have a good time.
Oh, yeah, we don't get that DJ room.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's do this.
Exactly. We got to reserve it early. And I forgot Marv's all the way in Kansas City. He can't. He's like, what?
Hi. I ain't even in that one right there. I'm just going to have to see him see the Instagram.
Right. You got to see the Instagram. I'm like, we'll send you. We'll have to FaceTime you. I'm like,
right.
You deserve it way in advance, though, because it'd be booked up. But that is the perfect place to be.
That's the spot right there.
I'm sure it is popping in there right now. I'm like, that place is always popping for sure. So,
yeah,
it's
totally popping.
Exactly. It's making me hungry right now, but it's too late for me to eat. It's 10:30. But overall, you guys, I think the draft, I think it went well. I think for all teams involved, I don't think anybody was, you know, did terribly wrong. I hate to give grades, but when I was looking at the grades for, you know, all the teams, everybody was in the A and B range. I didn't see anybody totally fail the draft. I think everybody got, you know, people that are going to, like Dwayne was saying, is going to fill the holes, you know, for their team. So I really feel like it was good. I'm excited for football season. I'm excited for our fantasy show. We still got to talk about that, guys. We got to figure out what we're going to do every other week or what we're going to do what day of the week so we can get the people excited and ready to go. We're definitely going to talk more about it. And if you guys have any opinions, please write to the network. They read all the emails, and they will relay the messages back to us on what you guys think. But, yeah, so I'm excited. Are you guys excited? Football is almost here. And they're legalizing betting in New York, so now you guys know.
Yeah. It's on.
Great.
Yeah. They also trying to do it here. We got a couple of months before they do it here too, baby.
Oh yeah, they're gonna open it up there too.
Yeah, we got the legislation bill out there, so we got people signing off on that billing, on that betting right now.
Oh, that's
sweet. Perfect.
Well, hopefully.
So
you guys are so close to Vegas anyway. I'm surprised it took this long.
You know where Republican state with all the retirees. They're like, no, betting is bad. You lose your pension.
But meanwhile, they go to
Arizona's kind of like half Vegas, half California, half Utah.
It's everybody.
Exactly.
It's everything and everything.
Exactly.
Everything and everything.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So like
almost there, though. We're almost there.
Arizona don't want to do that.
They're trying to fight it just because they already know how bad it gets when you do that, but it's the next part of the plan because everybody's moving out here. They're like, look, you want to expand, you want money to come in here, this is how you're going to do it. Because right now there's not money in Arizona, there's just people buying a lot of property. There's no real money here yet. So if you want to bring money here, you want to bring excitement, you got to have gambling. You got to have people wanting to come here that make money on this. That's how you bring other people here. That's how you bring other businesses here. That's how you expand. You got to have gambling. So,
exactly. So, and first of all, there's already casinos, you know, I understand it's on the Indian reservation, but there's already casinos there. So it's just like, what? I mean, whether it's on the reservation or not, it's still up the street from your house. So what do you really care, you know?
Right. Because realistically, you're just giving the money to them instead of giving it to everybody. But it's all good. We're not even going to get into that. It's not politics. We're not worried about it. So we're just trying to gamble again.
Great.
At the end of the day, I don't care about nothing right now. Yeah, this is loose, Dwayne, right now. So we don't care. We just want it to happen.
Exactly. We're right about that. And already. So, all right. So we will be back next week, 8:30 p.m. Hopefully we'll be on time. You know, you never know with us. We try to roll in when we can get in, you know, single to mile.
On time.
So
there's no holidays.
No holidays. We should be good to go next week. Let them know, Marv, how the people can get a hold of you.
Oh, man. Holler at me on Instagram at B1GMRV for everything you need.
Wayne, yes, how can the people get hold of you?
Laporte Clan, Instagram, Malbojay3, Snapchat, Dwayne Laporte, Facebook. Look me up.
Look him up. Drinks up in his hand. Drinks are up in his hand. And you guys know me. I'm your host. I'm here with you guys every Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find me at official_Mimi_C on all platforms. We will be back. Keep an eye out for our fantasy game show. It's going to be awesome. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Everybody have a safe and happy Cinco de Mayo. And we will see you all next week. Later, guys.
Peace. We got a new beat. That's tight.
We back.
Yeah, I was like, this new thing, hey, this tight. Like this. Yeah, like this. This is that shit right here. All right, y'all. Have a good one.
All right, y'all. See you later.